1-800-795-5745. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. 3 Praise and Worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, I'm Dan back here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, as usual on Friday, is Joel Skousen to bring us abreast of what's really going on behind the scenes. And ladies and gentlemen, you must understand, the media in the United States is largely controlled by 6 major corporations, all of which tie into what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. They can all be directly related to the Council on Foreign Relations and their multiple associated organizations, the web of subversion that controls our nation. So you're not going to get the truth through the regular channels. That's why, of course, you need an independent analysis of what's going on. And to give us that this morning, Joel Skousen. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Stan. Good to be with you. Let's talk first about the Norway bomber. My feeling is, of course, that the lone assassin theory is not credible. As background, Norway's Utøya Island, some 28 miles from Oslo, is a small wooded resort island no more than 500 yards across and only accessible by boat. On July 22nd, last Friday, the island was packed with some 600-plus youth and service workers, most of whom had cell phones, as part of the ruling left-liberal Norwegian Labour Party's youth camp. And when Anders Breivik arrived by boat, dressed as a fully armed policeman, began systematic shooting people, killing at least 71 and wounding several others, the police took well over an hour to respond. Breivik surrendered without protest. He was billed as a lone assassin with anti-Muslim and Christian extremist motives. And the official story seeks to paint a picture of the perfect crime, which authorities could not have prevented, and which they could only be prevented in the future by detailed surveillance of every individual in society. Well, in point of fact, Breivik was not the lone killer on the island. There were multiple witnesses with a detailed description of another shooter, and yet police are denying his existence and suppressing witness statements. So we have to ask, why the cover-up? Well, here's the detailed information, or detailed evidence. As Ian Garland wrote, chilling photos posted on Facebook show tearful teens piling mattresses against doors to protect themselves during a shooting in Utøya, Norway. Other kids have explained how they hid in trees, freezers, and even hid with dead bodies alongside dead bodies to hide themselves from the crazed gunmen. Another 7, now 8 people were killed by a bombing Breivik carried out on a government building that was the Prime Minister's office in the capital, Oslo. Survivors revealed Breivik disguised himself as a cop to infiltrate the camp before carrying out his cold-blooded attack. He even assassinated the frightened kids who had asked him for help, mistaking him for a real officer, and used his bogus identity to lure others from their hiding places, only to shoot them. Breivik stated the goal was to cause maximum amount of damage to the Labour Party to stop its recruitment and to stop a deconstruction of Norwegian culture and mass imports of Muslims. Of course, Stan, as we know, the opposite happened. Muslim open immigration is now safe from criticism, since Breivik's action have caused a complete backlash against restricting Muslim immigration. Well, Oslo's largest circulation newspaper, Ferdinand Gang, that's the Norwegian meaning course of the world. World is Ferdinand and Gang is course or path. It reported that several young people who survived the Toyas massacre told Ferdinand Gang that the shootings were coming from two different places on the island at the same time. I believe that there were two people who were shooting, said 22-year-old Alexander Stoptall. He described the second man as 180 centimeter tall. That's about 5'10". Dark-haired man with Nordic appearance with a pistol on his right hand and a rifle on his back. Now, that's too detailed a description to be mistaken, in my opinion. Stoptall said 15 out of 15 were killed at once. We thought life was over while we ran away. Many phoned home to parents to give them a final message. Well, it wasn't just to give them a final message. It was to tell them that there was an attack going on. The police were swamped with calls from parents. A 16-year-old girl told Ferdinand Gang that the gunman seemed to be in a hurry, but nevertheless made sure that their victims were shot dead. I saw a boy lying on the ground. He shivered and shook before they came over and shot him again. That explains why there was such a high ratio of dead to wounded. They were shooting to kill and were shooting twice when necessary. Well, it's not difficult to understand why there were few witnesses to the second shooter. The island is very wooded, and the second shooter was apparently on the periphery where he was killing most of those who got a glimpse of him, while Breivik was in the open common areas blasting away with lots of people running from him in flight. Police investigators initially said they were following up on these witness statements and searching for accomplices, but later used the failure to find anyone as an excuse to disregard these crucial witness statements. AFP News said that on Thursday, the top police investigator claimed Breivik definitely acted alone. Quote, the possibility that the killer had been working with anyone else was receding, officials said, despite an international intelligence probe. The police spokesman Henning Holtas said the possibility has become weaker over time, although we are checking out all his communications. Interesting, that last remark, because that's a tacit admission that all communications are recorded in Europe. Otherwise, how could you check on them? Just like in the U.S., which none of the media pointed out. They are also checking out Breivik's trips into Europe to buy weapons and explosives. According to the Czech police website, Breivik, age 32, spent 6 days in the Czech capital, Prague, in September as he tried to acquire weapons for his long-planned attack. He had been given the impression by a BBC documentary that the Czech capital was an underworld haven, that he could easily obtain an AK-47 rifle and Glock pistol. After carefully covering his tracks, including the use of credit cards and mobile phones, were to be avoided since for fear of tracking by police and intelligence services, Breivik took a ferry to Kiel, Germany, and drove on to Prague, where he had been booked into a cheap hostel, according to his own 1,500-page manifesto. During his days in the Czech capital, Breivik took in the additional tour sites while at night descending into the city's sleazy underworld district to try and make his weapons connections by finding a mid-level drugs dealer who could do an arms deal. After visiting two brothels and creating alarm by his approaches about arms, buying arms, Breivik admitted to himself he had seriously miscalculated his Prague mission, and that while the Czech capital might be a transit city for drugs and arms, it would have been better to seek weapons a big Western European capital instead. Back in Oslo, he decided to opt for the legal route of getting a rifle, saying it was for hunting deer and it pistols on the ground of his long membership in a gun club.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment here with Joel Skousen.
Oh.
Prospect Implement Company in Keensburg salutes America's armed forces and military veterans for the sacrifices they've made. Our troops, our angels of freedom, our wings of protection, fighting to defend our country. We honor our warriors for their sacrifices and their bravery. We also honor our veterans and those who have given their lives, America's true heroes. This tribute from Prospect Implement Company in Keensburg. The name to remember for all your farm machinery equipment needs. Call 732-4321.
Whether you already know essential oils are valued for their ancient wisdom and wellness, or you're considering their use as a viable, non-toxic, healthy alternative, your question should be the same. Are all essential oils certified pure therapeutic grade? Who makes the highest quality essential oils available? Do all test for safety and meet rigorous standards? Can all oils pass the scrutiny of health professionals and scientists? Many essential oils don't meet these standards, so ask one more question. Where can I find the most powerful, reasonably priced, certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils? doTERRA. Gift of the Earth. doTERRA, committed to natural, empowering ideals. If you're new to essential oils or a seasoned expert, you'll recognize the superior quality of doTERRA certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils with your first experience. Call 970-493-6789. That's 970-493-6789 or RockyMountainEssentialOil.com. That's RockyMountainEssentialOil.com.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, I am here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, and this is Joel Skousen. And Joel, you go right on.
Well, we're talking about the Norwegian shooting and the evidence of two shooters and his background in Europe trying to gain weapons and explosives. What we're heading with this is to decide whether or not he really was acting alone, whether or not he was had other accomplices, or the third possibility was acting as an agent provocateur by government. But he claimed to have advised the anti-immigrant English Defense League on strategy, telling how to provoke, including telling them how to provoke a jihad youth extreme Marxist reaction in society. Of course, the English Defense League is a highly infiltrated operation that some suspect even is an intelligence operation by MI6. The British newspaper, the Sunday Telegraph, said he was also in contact with the far-right Stop the Islamification of Europe group. The British-based pan-European organization bears the slogan, racism is the lowest form of stupidity, Islamophobia is the height of common sense. It claims a growing network of contacts across the continent. Both anti-immigration organizations have denied any relationship with Breivik. What no reporter seems to question is how the police gathered so much information on Breivik in such a short time. The police have admitted that Breivik was in their computers for his attempted fertilizer purchase, but that isn't a controlled item generating automatic reports. Thus, they must have been shadowing him as a known agent provocateur. If they were tracking his every move and did nothing to stop the car bomb attack he made on government buildings in Oslo prior to a shooting spree on the island, that would indicate government collusion. It reminds me of the FBI having all the alleged 9/11 hijackers in their computers prior to the attack on the World Trade Center and doing nothing to stop them. These foregoing serious questions about how much government knew and when, are very serious questions, is what I'm saying. But the key question remains about why the government evaded going after the second shooter. The shooter witnesses saw wore no police uniform, making him very, very distinguishable from Breivik. How did the second shooter escape the island? Surely the witnesses would have run up to police who were wearing different uniforms than Breivik, thankfully, and told them about the other man still at large on the island. There's no mention that the police searched the island for another shooter. It would have been easy to catch on such a small island surrounded by water and several hundred meters from the nearest land. Did someone give the order not to search? We'll never know unless a whistleblower comes forth. It appears rather brazen for police to simply cast aside direct witness testimony and say he acted alone unless they're trying to cover up this aspect of the tragedy. Why the rush to close the door on the second shooter? The press is partly to blame for not pressing the police on these matters. The police themselves are acting as if searching in Poland and the Czech Republic for some international smuggling or terror ring excuses them for searching close to home for the second shooter. All of this reminds me of the extraordinary efforts that the establishment went to in promulgating the lone assassin theory of Lee Harvey Oswald and the assassination of JFK, and the manner in which the investigation went out of its way to debunk all reports of other shooters. There were at least 550 survivors on the island, all with lots of testimony to give. Overall, there's a curious lack, Stan, of witness testimonies being aired by the media, except for these two mentioned by Ferdinand Gong, who happened to get them just as they were coming off the island. None of the others are being heard from. Why is that? I have looked long and hard at the evidence so far that Breivik was fronting for a larger government false flag terror event, the type they love to blame on right-wing extremists. If it was such, there aren't a lot of obvious mistakes that were made as compared to what the U.S. government did in the past example of its false flag terror attacks. For example, the Oklahoma City bombing at the Murrah Federal Building is a classic example of a false flag government terror event aimed at demonizing the right wing, complete with massive contradictions in the official story. Two explosions instead of one in the building, multiple bad actors instead of a lone bomber, the government patsy Timothy McVeigh. For example, in Oklahoma, a TV station filmed other bombs around the outside of the building where McVeigh was not seen, and the films were later suppressed by the government. Selected federal officers in the building were given advance warning to get out, and there were other John Doe accomplices who the FBI knew about but kept their identity secret from the grand jury. It was very obvious from the beginning that the dark side of the FBI created this disaster specifically to blame right-wing domestic terrorists. McVeigh's handlers directed him to seek out right-wing contacts, including Terry Nichols, to help make the case against the government's targeted audience. After the attack, McVeigh appears to have been set up to be caught. His handlers provided him with a getaway vehicle with no license plate and instructions to speed away as fast as he could, ensuring arrest. That was not very brilliant. In prison, he spoke openly about his derision for right-wing activists and expressed only loyalty to the government he was serving. That doesn't sound like an anti-government terrorist to me. Was there some mind control going on with McVeigh? Well, probably, but all mind control assets have handlers and others who provide equipment and training. All that has to be covered up. Well, if Breivik was operating under a handler, he didn't leave any traces of collusion except perhaps for the few who saw the second shooter, who may or may not have been his handler. Often when analyzing a lone assassin like Oswald, John Hinckley, or Tim McVeigh, there are obvious things that don't add up in their background. Usually they don't have the time, for example, or the money or the smarts to pull off what they're accused of, and so it becomes obvious they had help. Not surprisingly, within a week, the media had a pretty good picture of Anders Breivik, and superficially had all the bases covered to act as a lone assassin, with few traces to others. In contradiction to this, he claims to be part of two other cells, but authorities are both discounting that as bravado and using it as an excuse to openly use domestic surveillance powers on everyone else in Norway. Well, on the surface, the 32-year-old Breivik does seem to have all the background abilities to pull off this feat as a loner. He had money from his various business endeavors in computers, at least according to his tax return, showing an income in excess of 50,000 euros. He had the chemical fertilizer delivered according to a local agricultural supply chain that was supposedly used in the bomb, though there's no forensic proof yet that it was a fertilizer bomb. Although he had no military experience, having demanded exemption from universal training in Norway, he had joined the shooting club to gain experience. He had the weapons purchased legally. And last but not least, he seemed to have the ideological motivations to defend traditional Norwegian culture from the onslaught of Muslim immigration. a motivation shared by thousands of other Norwegians. However, Breivik's background in religion and right-wing philosophy was certainly not consistent enough to merit the label of right-wing extremist. Many of his ideas were all over the map. He seemed to go out of his way to dabble in a little bit of everything. But it is all too easy for the left-wing media of Europe to label him right-wing. They even do that to Adolf Hitler, who was a radical socialist on the left side of the political spectrum. What he actually lacked in right-wing associations, which were pretty slim, he made up for in his 1,500-page diatribe spouting his philosophy with borrowings from various other extreme sources and rantings from the Internet from the likes of Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, who was on the left, by the way. However, careful scrutiny of the facts shows that he never had a consistent philosophy nor religion, and certainly not and cannot be tagged as a Christian, at least not of the fundamental sort the media portrayed. He openly claimed, quote, he is not a religious man and was not active in any church at all. He even admitted as much when he wrote, quote, it's therefore essential to understand the difference between a Christian fundamentalist theocracy, everything we do not want, he said, and a secular European society based on Christian cultural heritage that we do want. Well, as Pastor Chuck Missler wrote this week, Breivik's version of Europe's Christian culture has nothing to do with faith in God at all. It's all about the non-Islamic cultural legacy of Israel, of Europe. He says, so no, you don't need to have a personal relationship with God or Jesus to fight for a Christian cultural heritage. Well, that's an open admission, Stan, that he's not a fundamentalist Christian who, of course, believed very strongly in a personal relationship with God and in Christ. He says, it is enough that you are a Christian agnostic. How do you be a Christian agnostic or a Christian atheist? He claims that these atheists are the ones who want to preserve at least the basics of European Christian cultural legacy, like holidays and Easter. But anyway, the Knights Templars are not a religious organization, but rather a Christian culturalist military order. Those are the types of things he's attracted to. Those are hardly religious qualifications that make him a religious fundamentalist. In fact, they speak against that. What Breivik was doing was building up labels for himself, and the media has been most obliging in responding to those labels. He carefully built his cover, immersing himself in just enough anti-establishment causes to feed the media justification of calling him an extremist. His efforts, however, are just a bit too professional to be believable as a loner. He photographs himself in various garb, including Masonic robes and apron, appear to be professionally done. Some of those photos, like the militaristic one of Breivik dressed in a military shock suit or wetsuit, aiming at a semi-automatic rifle adorned with scope and dual lights, is particularly enticing and incriminating. The shoulder patch is a very important thing that no one but one media source has failed to address. If you zoom in on that shoulder patch sewn on, it says, in Norwegian, Marxist Hunter from Norway, multicultural traitor hunting permit. So this is a patch that he had to have specially made up for some patch vendor. And no Norwegian vendor would have done that without raising questions with the authorities about this patch, a multicultural traitor hunting permit. Patch vendors mostly work with police and military outfits anyway, and would have multiple contacts with the authorities. Again, this is evidence that his movement to establish a right-wing extremist profile was not particularly well hidden and either went unnoticed or were purposely concealed by police who had him on their watch list. The other possibility, of course, was that he was on another list, that is, a police agent provocateur, which would have meant it would have protected all calls that they would have got from a potential patch vendor about him being an extremist. Well, my long years of observing people tells me that soft, mild-mannered people like Breivik don't do remorseless mass killings like the obvious evil icons of history, people like Mao, Stalin, and Adolf Hitler's SS. Soft people don't have the hardened, driving mental powers to do such things, and thus put under the influence of mind control and or satanic influence that can turn them into persons without feeling. All the evidence, including the smiling face of Breivik, as he's driven away by a police car from the island, points to the conclusion he's totally without remorse in these multiple killings. He is all too willing to discuss them with the police in a cold, factual manner. Now, that doesn't mean that Breivik is insane. Those lawyers are trying hard to make the case that this level of criminal violent action, by definition, must be insanity. Not so. He knew exactly what he was doing and could speak rationally about it today. What is troubling, of course, is the lack of remorse, which is indicative of being under external influence. A few rare individuals with long, hardened criminal histories are capable of doing this kind of killing without remorse, but it takes years of criminal activity, usually associated with gangs, in order to kill the normal feelings of conscience. Normal people on the right do not harbor violent ideas, no matter how strongly they might believe in the evil trends of government in a nation overrun by illegal and legal immigration. Well, the trouble with criminal psychologists is that they see a few cases where anger develops out of extremist ideas, and they erroneously conclude that extreme ideas are the cause of that anger, which isn't true at all. There's nothing causal or automatic about that link. Going overboard with anger happens only to a small minority of participants, and upon close observation, one can detect that they have let themselves come under the influence of satanic depression, where their minds begin to show instability, chronic bad judgment, and bad personal relations with others. One typical pattern of deep satanic depression is the promptings to do some great evil act and then commit suicide afterwards.
Hold that thought, Joel. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Byrna Roofing in Fort Collins salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comforts of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message is from Byrna Roofing in Fort Collins. In business for 10 years, 2927 Bassett Street, where they support our armed forces and hope for their safe return.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cedarstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cedarstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way, the only way they know how.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. And Joel, before we go on, I want to tell our listeners how they can subscribe to the World Affairs Brief and how they can get your books on Sydney strategic relocation and the secure home.
Well, thank you, Stan. My World Affairs Brief is a subscription news service on the web. It comes to people's email boxes, and it's showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. And people who will consider subscribing would certainly like to get a free sample issue, and they can do so by emailing me with their request at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. That's editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. Also on my website are detailed descriptions of my three major books that I have in the preparedness field. It's my philosophy shared by, I know you, Stan, that as we fight for our liberty, we need to prepare for the possibility that we will lose this battle for liberty and have to become subject to wars and other things and these kinds of false flag terrorist attacks that we're warning people about. And in order to do so, it's very important to prepare in advance, not when the crisis is upon us. And so I've written three books. The bestseller of the three is the third edition of Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. The third edition is an all-new color edition with maps of every one of the states of the United States with all the threats depicted on the maps as well as safe places. There's also an entirely new section about foreign retreats, and of course, hundreds and hundreds of pages, nearly 400 pages long, of discussion on the complexities of relocating and what you can do if you can't relocate, how to do contingency planning. My largest book is The Secure Home, 700 pages of everything from high security construction and architecture through self-sufficiency with solar and power generation and alternate energy devices within the home. And the last book is How to Implement a High Security Shelter in the Home, an architectural plan book on how to do a safe room within a basement. All three of these books are available from Radio Liberty.
By calling 1-800-544-8927, that's 1-800-544-8927. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, we've been talking about the psychological aberration of having a mild-mannered person turn into a vicious, remorseless killer of nearly 100 people. It just baffles the mind, and it is not possible, in my estimation, without some type of mind control, which government has attempted before, or satanic influence on people. And both of those are very, very real. Of course, for a psychiatrist to admit to the existence of any influence of Satan would be considered unprofessional. But Satan is as real as God, and he does work constantly on people's minds, even though it appears to come in their own thoughts and style of speaking, so it's very difficult to recognize. But Revick had no suicidal tendencies, which is interesting, indicating more that this was mind control from being subjected to government influence. It's interesting that his lack of suicidal tendencies was the great regret of his own paternal father. Imagine having a worldly father long since moved to France, whose only thought upon hearing about the tragedy is that he had wished his son had killed himself. He hadn't seen his son since the mid-90s, so he simply cannot figure out what happened in the intervening years. Unfortunately, Germans and Scandinavians have a more casual view of suicide than Americans or British people do. Historian Webster Tarpley strongly believes that Breivik was under government special operations control. He detailed some history of U.S. intelligence influence in Norway and other NATO countries when he wrote, U.S. and NATO intelligence has been shown to possess extraordinary capabilities inside Norway, many of which may be operating outside the control of the Norwegian government, which is often true. You know, you have a dark side of government, and oftentimes the leader may not understand what secret operations are doing within the very government that he pretends to control. In early November 2010, the Oslo television station Channel 2 exposed the existence of an extensive network of paid assets and informants of U.S. intelligence recruited within the ranks of retired police and other officials. The ostensible goal of this program was the surveillance of Norwegians who were taking part in demonstrations and other activities critical of the United States and NATO policies. One of the Norwegians recruited was the former chief of the anti-terror section of the Oslo police. Although the goal was supposedly merely surveillance, it is possible to imagine some other and far more sinister activities that could be carried out by such a network of retired police, including the identification and subversion of rotten apples on the active duty police force. Some of the capabilities of a network of this type would not be totally alien to the sort of events that have just occurred in Norway. The official name, writes Tarpley, for the type of espionage cell which the United States was creating in Norway is Surveillance Detection Unit, SDU. The SDUs in turn operate within the framework of Security Incident Management Analysis System, CMOS, and is known to be used for spying and surveillance by U.S. embassies, but not just in the Nordic bloc of Norway, Denmark, and Sweden, but worldwide. The terror events also raise the question of whether CMOS has an operational dimension. Well, of course, those remarks are somewhat speculative, but the mere fact that it is known that the United States operates these secret type of relationships within foreign countries is indicative that they may well have ties to dark side elements within those governments. Perhaps someday more proof will be forthcoming, but at least for the present, the largest indicator of government complicity in this event is the deliberate evasion of the testimony pointing to the other shooter. In all conspiracy theories, one must ask cui bono, or who benefits. If Breivik really was interested in gaining influence on stopping unlimited Muslim immigration to Norway, and had assiduously studied the lessons of the past, he would have known that violence would only cause a backlash that would undermine this cause. That is exactly what has happened. As Dan Murphy of the staff writer of the Christian Science Monitor pointed out, some commentators argue in Europe that despite his deplorable methods, Mr. Breivik has a point. Multiculturalism has failed, and Europe should turn back toward the narrower, traditional national cultures of the region. And we're finding that in the U.S. as well. Breivik, he wrote, a self-described Christian nationalist opposed to the Islamic colonization of Europe abetted by mainstream European politicians, argues that modern Europeans have been indoctrinated by a multicultural orthodoxy. This is very true, and even in the United States, we're indoctrinated in schools about the benefits of multiculturalism. But critics appear to believe that members of the European political elite are ignoring general public opposition to immigration and a growing threat to nations like Norway. This is also true, because they have the same globalist agenda as American leaders, and they use multiculturalism to dilute conservative voting powers in our defense of Western culture. And they are also equally immune to our cries to close the border here in the United States. So he continues, while critics of Muslim immigration condemn Breivik's unspeakable evil approach to addressing such concerns, they appear far more concerned about the likelihood that Breivik's violence...
We'll be back in just a moment, Joel. Hang on there, please.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival. Cindy Girk, an American Family Insurance agency in Fort Collins, reminds listeners, blood is one of the few substances which cannot be manufactured or stored for long periods. Giving blood is safe and painless. It only takes a short time. Be a silent hero. Give the gift of life. Donate blood. Your help could save a life in our community. This reminder is courtesy of Cindy Girk, an American Family Insurance agency in Fort Collins, reminding listeners, as Americans, it's our responsibility to help safeguard our country and its people.
Whether you already know essential oils are valued for their ancient wisdom and wellness, or you're considering their use as a viable, non-toxic, healthy alternative, your question should be the same. Are all essential oils certified pure therapeutic grade? Who makes the highest quality essential oils available? Do all test for safety and meet rigorous standards? Can all oils pass the scrutiny of health professionals and scientists? Many essential oils don't meet these standards, so ask one more question. Where can I find the most powerful, reasonably priced, certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils? doTERRA, gift of the earth. doTERRA, committed to natural, empowering ideals. If you're new to essential oils or a seasoned expert, you'll recognize the superior quality of doTERRA certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils with your first experience. Call 970-493-6789. That's 970-493-6789 or RockyMountainEssentialOil.com. That's RockyMountainEssentialOil.com.
Well, Dr. Dan, here at the American Freedom Network, our guest is Joel Skousen. Joel, let's go right ahead with your discussion.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. We're talking about the backlash from Breivik's unspeakable evil there, and it's causing people to detract. Or detracting, in fact, the, you know, causing people to reject the philosophy that we need to rein in unlimited immigration. And that is why it is unlikely that Breivik was really on the side of the anti-immigration movement. The government is reaping great benefits from the provocation and violent action to maintain this policy of multiculturalism. It is interesting to note, however, the U.S. neocons were out in force, ready to condemn the attack as a Muslim threat. Philip Girardi cataloged this litany of early mistakes that even included the New York Times. He says, on Friday night and Saturday morning, and this is talking last week, I scanned the newspapers and watched the usual after-the-fact nonsense on television in the wake of the horrific attack in Norway. The late edition of Friday's Wall Street Journal featured a lead editorial blaming yihadis for the slaughter, an attack that was, per the editorial editor, launched because Norway is a liberal democracy. The New York Times, meanwhile, was quoting terrorist expert Will McCants, who's also blaming the carnage on Islamic militants. And both he and the Times later recanted. Over at the Washington Post, it was more of the same, with a predictable and utterly reliable Zionist conservative, Jennifer Rubin, saying that the Muslims are to blame. Look no further. Rupert Murdoch's Fox News, blood was in the water, and there was a virtual feeding frenzy with a number of ready-at-hand terrorologists, quick to pronounce that it was a Muslim deed and probably linked to Al-Qaeda, while the usual band of follow-on experts, including Christian Witten, expounded for 5 minutes on the danger of Islamic terrorism, even after conceding that the attack was carried out by a Norwegian who described himself as a Christian. Laura Ingraham and Liz Cheney were also quick to denounce the perfidious Muslims on Fox. How could it be otherwise, they asked. Clearly, the American establishment, this is my commentary, wasn't made privy to this European version of a false flag hit on right-wing terrorism. But it does show how big the natural impetus of the establishment media is to push the terrorist agenda toward Islam, since that's the prime force in keeping the U.S. involved in foreign wars and occupations in the Middle East. Webster Tarpley even thinks that the underlying motivation for this false flag Norwegian terror plot was to stop Norway and other European nations from pulling out of the U.S.-NATO-led coalition attack on Libya, which they had all recently threatened to do. I don't think the motivation was that specific. I believe the powers that be in globalism are much more interested in the long-term conflicts that multiculturalism can reap inside Europe and America, destabilizing our culture, destroying religious unity, and fomenting hatred towards all things on the right. Well, that's my analysis of the this. I'm sure that we'll get more information as time goes on, Stan, but it just looks too slick of an operation to be a loner, as they're indicating. And, of course, there's, you know, the natural follow-on is that if there is no organization he belongs to, and that he's a loner, then we really do have to domestically surveil every individual to make sure we catch these people. Well, in the last topic of today, the government tells banks privately that there's going to be no default, while officials of the Obama administration raised their rhetoric over the weekend about the possibility of a debt default, they're privately telling banks that the event won't happen. In fact, government, Tiffany Geithner says the government will run out of money to pay its bills, except that they are making provisions to pay their friends. Bloomberg noticed that the Treasury will give priority to making interest payments to holders of government bonds when due if lawmakers fail to reach an agreement to raise the debt ceiling. The official requested anonymity because no announcement has been made, but he did say that the Treasury has about $90 billion in debt matures on August 4th and more than $30 billion in interest coming due on August 15th. In total, there are $500 billion in bond maturities that come due in August. Now, this later issue of bond maturities changes my assessment of last week when I outlined the fact that the U.S. does have enough monthly income, about $200 billion plus, to pay the interest on the national debt. It does not, however, have funds to pay off bonds that mature, and what that means is the bond has interest payments regularly during the period of its existence, but when it comes to maturity, the government technically is supposed to pay off the entire principal on the bond. They would have to declare default because they don't have $500 billion in August to pay off those maturities. But that default is more technical than real, and here's why. Most of those bonds are rolled over into new bonds, as few investors actually want to cash out of their bonds and take on the tax consequences. As in past defaults, the U.S. would simply give investors an offer they can't refuse, that is, take nothing in our default or roll the bonds over into a new issue and we'll keep paying you interest only. Well, that's probably what's going to happen. And once again, I continue to put out the important information that the government or the Republicans are derelict in their duty of pointing this out, so the government does not have to revolve or default. They're going along with the Obama's stated deadline of August 7, which puts the Republicans in a bad situation. And as Attorney Bill Olson points out in an article this week in the American Spectator, the Republicans are always claiming that they don't have the power to enact their legislative agenda because of Democratic powers in the Senate. But in fact, they don't have to vote on anything to stop the government from increasing spending. All they do have to do in this debt limit thing is simply not vote to increase the debt limit, and it forces government to stop spending more than what they have. It's better than a balanced budget amendment. There are no options to opt out of it. There are no conditional aspects as there are in the Republican balanced budget proposal. They simply have to not vote for this debt increase and force this government into a balanced budget amendment from now on, and they're unwilling to do that.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see how this whole thing plays out over the weekend.
Well, it's also interesting that the U.S. government has defaulted four different occasions before, Stan, and So they'll do it again. There was the green vault back default. There was the continental currency default, the panic of 1837 when many state banks defaulted. Liberty
Bank default of 1934. God bless. Thanks very much. Talk to you next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Well, I'm Stan here at the American Freedom Network. I enjoy our regular programs every Saturday, every Friday with Joel. But certainly there is no way to explain this mass killing other than the fact that there are demonic forces at work. This is a totally evil act. And those of you who listen to our programs, you can hear our program we did yesterday with Constance Cumby, who talks about the satanic connection, especially of the manifesto this man had published prior to the slaughter, and it had been picked up by a Satanist that circulated it. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that powerful spiritual forces at work within our society. The Norwegian police waited an hour and a half after they knew the massacre was underway before they get to the island. Oh, their helicopter didn't work. Oh, shucks, they couldn't find even one boat on the lake to take them out to a place where this fellow was slaughtering people, just shooting them down an hour and a half. Do you really believe that story? Nothing as it appears to be. Reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. It'll take some time before we really understand what this is about. We do know the true story of Timothy McVeigh from three different sources. First of all, he told his sister that Timothy McVeigh carried out the Oklahoma City bombing, at least we're told he carried it out, that he was working for a special forces unit involved in illegal activity. You'll find that in a book called OK Bomb by Jim Keith, who died under mysterious circumstances shortly after he published the book. Well, that could have happened, but then shortly thereafter, his publisher died under mysterious circumstances, and shortly after that, his wife or ex-wife died under mysterious circumstances. Do you think all those deaths were just simply coincidence? And then, of course, Timothy McVeigh told the same story to his cellmate in prison in Colorado. His name was David Hammer. He wrote a book called A Secret Worth Dying For. And as Timothy McVeigh said, I'll never get out of here unless I'm executed, and that's why he wouldn't allow an appeal of his death sentence. And then, of course, one of the women who actually witnessed the execution of Timothy McVeigh did a radio interview in which she said, I didn't know you kept breathing after you were dead. And a talk show host named William Cooper picked that up and played it over and over and over again on his radio program until the SWAT team came out and killed him. His name was William Cooper. He wrote a book called Ride a Pale Horse. And then, of course, Timothy McVeigh told the same story about the Special Forces team to his fellow who actually carried out the crime along with Terry Nichols. And Terry Nichols told this story to his lawyer, who told it to me. But, of course, you're never going to hear this discussed on the major media. Nothing as it appears to be. Well, of course, I just hope that you'll get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You'll get our talks on the forbidden secret and the dark secret and get the syllabuses that go with them. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, we'd love to welcome you. And if not, please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection, because we are involved in a spiritual battle of being paid out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. And so, until Monday, when we'll be back, darkness standing goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
CINN stations in Alt salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Alt, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology.